Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Cool, well, I hope to blow off some steam and meet some cute potential...
Husbands.
Husbands. And just fucking ride tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Excited.
I'm JP, and this is Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and we're one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action sports, and subculture. On this week's episode, we're going to be finding out about the locally made video game The Dead Linger, we'll be doing the brew pub tour with Yelp, and we'll be finding out about the local cycling ride, the 999 ride. In April of 2012, Park City-based gaming company Sandswept Studios launched a Kickstarter campaign to help fund their latest game. It's called The Dead Linger, and it's a first-person zombie survival game based on a sandbox format, wherein you can explore worlds worth of challenges. The campaign goal was to reach 60K, but fan and gamer support from over 4,000 backers helped the company raise over $150,000 for the game. Slug writer Thomas Winkley chatted with Sandswept CEO Jeff Keen about the campaign and the development of the game thus far.
Let's start from the beginning. I mean, what is, you said it's your dream game, it's what you want to raise. Kind of go into how the idea started, what you pushed, where you went.
The Dead Linger started as kind of this just design idea I had after reading, you know, the Max Brooks Zombie Survival Guide.
Sure.
That was when I was about 15. So it's been in development for about 5 years as far as design goes. But we've only, in the past about 6 months, gotten art assets together and everything else. So it's kind of the game we want to make. We don't feel that anybody's done this with the zombie genre yet.
Right.
And it's definitely something that's needed. In the game industry, I believe.
No, absolutely.
Something gamers have been asking for a long time.
Sure. What's it like to know that all these people have given you $100,000 to build your game, to build your dream?
Well, yeah, like I said earlier, it's kind of surreal. I mean, it's you get up and you're kind of like, whoa, everybody's, they've given us, you know, $100,000 to fund our project. And as you said, you know, they haven't even met me, you know?
Right.
So we kind of, I don't know if I'm just really charismatic or something in the video, but something convinced them that we were the team that was going to pull this off. And we are absolutely the team to pull it off.
Well, and so I mean, watching the videos about what you guys want to do and kind of your dream and your vision for me, even, like you were kind of mentioning, you guys are spread out all over the U.S. and even some of the world. Mm-hmm. How'd you meet everybody? How'd the team get put together?
We kind of just looked for people. I mean, we did our first game, you know, we started in December of 2007. We were doing a side scroller, and that kind of fell through after a while, but we kept going. My father's the lead programmer on the team. Kind of just gathered some people from the internet, basically. We said, you know, who's interested in doing a startup project like this? And we did Detour, our first action RTS, and we released that on Steam. And then we're now working on Dead Linger with that same team, or most of the same team. I called Sandswept the meat grinder in the early years.
Okay.
Because it was, we kind of went through a lot of team members who, you know, some people are cut out for the startup thing.
Sure.
And some aren't. And we've gotten more professional people as we go along and picked up some more people. So that's kind of how we formed the team, I guess. We just kind of looked for the people and friends of friends and put out, we're hiring, you know, all over forums and stuff.
I know you kind of mentioned you read a lot of the zombie survival guides. So when you're looking at TDL, what parts are you specifically focusing on? What gets you excited about the zombie aspect for you that you guys are doing?
Well, the whole game gets me excited. I mean, the whole idea of it, you know, being able to just go out with your friends or, you know, or with enemies, you know, maybe PvP or whatever, and just fight in this and survive in this big, you know, vast world. Then, you know, go to supermarkets and skyscrapers and schools, you know, abandoned schools and you know, houses and everything, and just raid them and survive in that world. It's basically all those plans you have. You know, you're talking with your buddies or whatever, you know, what do we do if the zombies show up? You know, you can basically do all those, you know,
that's
something we can't actually simulate in real life, so we simulate in the game because it's fun.
And kind of to tone it down for people that maybe aren't as game savvy or techie as we might be, so you're releasing an alpha stage first, so you're going to release kind of a partial version and then develop from there, correct?
Yeah, so we're going to release the game when it's in development still.
Okay.
Pretty low in development too, you know, not as many features or anything like that, and we're going to basically release it, let people play it, let people give their feedback, test bugs, or, you know, help find bugs, everything else like that, and just keep but kind of just keep developing while people are playing it, and they'll have some input on it and everything else.
Awesome. And I'm assuming they'll be able to log into your website and maybe comment in the forums about stuff they love, stuff maybe they'd like to see developed out more, or...
Yeah, we have forums. It's sansweb.net/forums, and you can get on our forums and just post, and we read them and respond to posts and everything. So we really like, you know, community interaction. We think if you don't listen to the community, then, you know, I don't know any gamers that don't like developers that don't listen to what they say, at least, you know, or acknowledge that they're there, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we're really big on that. We have a lot of community stuff going on.
Obviously, it sounds like you're a bit of a gamer as well. You play quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Is there ever been too anything much else you wanted to do besides be a game developer? I mean, it seems like from 17 on...
No, I mean, I've, like, went back and forth, you know, between about, you know, when I was, like, 10 and maybe, like, 17 or so. I kind of, like, flip-flopped back and forth on what I was going to do. And even, you know, during Detour's development, I was like, am I really going to keep doing this, you know, or because it's hard stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So it requires a lot of work and patience also, because, you know, Detour, it wasn't very successful.
Right.
But TDL is already shaping up to be more successful than Detour was, you know.
Absolutely.
And it's not even developed yet.
Not even there, yeah.
So, you know, you just keep going until you hit it. And I think I do want to be a game developer, so.
Sure. Well, it sounds like you guys are well on your way
I guess I am a game developer, but.
You have officially made more money in 3 weeks than I've made in 2 years, so I think you qualify.
Well, that's funding, of course, not personal income.
Sure, sure, sure.
But yeah, I mean, it's looking up, you know, as far as that goes. But yeah, I mean, game development's definitely been the thing that I've always come back to, you know. I've always just enjoyed the idea of creating worlds. You know, I'm kind of a writer as well.
Okay.
So I write a lot of our game story and everything else that we've done, I've written. So I just like creating stuff, you know, creating worlds and ideas and all that, and really bringing them to people to enjoy, you know.
So as someone who even writes, let's go into that. I mean, you're making a zombie game, you obviously love zombies.
Yep.
I have to ask, favorite zombie movie of all time?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I was kind of particular to the... They're not really zombie movies, but I've always liked the 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later, but those aren't really zombie movies, and I acknowledge that. They're rage humans or whatever, you know.
Right.
I always like those ones, but I definitely like the modern Dawn of the Dead, where they're in the mall and stuff. That was kind of the truest zombie movie, in my opinion. I think that's probably my favorite, you know. And I think even George Romero himself has been making some pretty crappy zombie movies recently.
I think everybody, you know, like, will,
like,
at some point.
Like, Land of the Dead was just horrible. I mean, that was a terrible movie.
For more information on Sandswept Studios and The Dead Linger, including screenshots and developmental news, visit them online at sandswept.net. Triggers and Slips is a four-piece folk rock band based out of Salt Lake, with Morgan Snow on guitar and harmonica, John Davis on guitar, Zach Griffin on bass, and Will Grimshaw on drums. They released their self-titled debut EP on May 11th, recorded entirely at Salt Lake Recording Service, featuring Greg Midley from The Rubes laying down piano. Here's Triggers and Slips with The Come Down.
Yes, it's true, you always like to make me blue. Always thinking that it's never coming to you. So here I stand, just like a man on the day he came. Trying to go, trying to stay far away. the Wyatt Soul made its way home back to you. Go on, coming down, it's coming down, it's coming down. Coming round, it's coming down, oh yeah. Coming round, it's coming round, it's coming round. First in line to make sure it's all made its way back to you. This hope alone can't buy the peace that I can own. Like watching all that shit fall back to you. Cause coming down, it's coming down, it's coming down.
That was Triggers and Slips with The Come Down. They'll be playing the upcoming Desert Rocks Festival June 7th through 10th at Jenks Star Ranch in Green River, Utah. For more information on the band and upcoming shows, visit them online at triggersandslips.com. Once a month or so, sooner if we're lucky, we're joined by Jeffrey Stedman of Yelp. Yelp is an online site where people get to review different local businesses and talk about what they like and what they don't like, and then they rate them. And today, Jeffrey Stedman of Yelp has joined us once more to talk about one of my favorite subjects, brew pubs. Thanks for joining us, Jeffrey.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Where do you want to start off this journey, this gastronomic and imbiber's journey?
Well, let's start with some of the classics, the downtown classic brew pubs that I think people have jumping into their mind. First of all, I don't know, maybe it's a toss-up between Squatters and Red Rock. Which one do you want to take first?
Squatters.
Let's do it. Squatters. Yeah, it's one of the most reviewed businesses in Salt Lake on Yelp. It has 3.5 out of 5 stars after 238 reviews. It's at, if you don't know where it is, 147 West Broadway, which is 300 South. And yeah, I mean, I think Yelper Sarah C., who is just a bundle of joy, says, "This is a Salt Lake institution. You pretty much don't visit downtown SLC without a visit to Squatters. Another delightful time this week. Tried a great cream ale and was very happy with my veggie burger." So they do some pretty interesting things with food there and with the brews. It's a classic. If you don't know about Squatters, I don't know where you've been.
Under a rock. Or not in Salt Lake. You've been there even.
Yeah, I've been there a few times. They just keep doing some amazing things in the community as well. They are a downtown institution. I love them. Let's move on then, and then we'll take Red Rock, 254 South, 200 West. Again, you know, if you haven't been there or seen it, I don't know where you've been. It's 3.5 out of 5 stars, 170 reviews, so very, very well vetted. Lexi S., also a Yelper, who puts it real well. She says, "This place is kind of the essence of Salt Lake. When friends come to town, it's one of the perfect spots to sample the local flair. I enjoy the atmosphere, the beer, the food, the servers. It's fun local pub and hits all the right notes for me." She hit something good there, which I think is worth mentioning. I mean, these places are downtown institutions, and it's a great place to take your out-of-town friends to sort of dispel some of those myths that you can't get a drink in Salt Lake, and to let them try the food and kind of see and feel the downtown vibe. I just think they're a great addition and mainstays in Salt Lake.
You've been there too for the food, I'm guessing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's really good. Do you remember a dish that you particularly liked there?
You know, I like the onion rings, but they're not traditional onion rings. They're like scone-covered onions. They're really big and squishy, and I love them. I love them, but a little different. And so, you know, you can try the bread pudding as well for dessert if you're interested.
Yes, I am. Thank you for mentioning that. I love bread pudding, but I've never had it there before. Where are we going next?
Well, let's stay in Salt Lake. We'll go to Desert Edge Brewery at the pub.
This is one of my favorite locations, mainly because they've got a great quiche and a Hefeweizen that kicks some ass. What did the Yelper say about it?
A quiche? I wouldn't expect you to be a quiche man.
Oh, are you kidding me? Okay, I like pastry, A. I like cheese, B. And I like all those things together.
So quiche, all right.
So quiche.
Well, Yelpers agree, 4 out of 5 stars after 53 reviews. This, of course, is located at Trolley Square, and Heather K. has some nice things to say about him. I think the big thing for her, she says, "For refreshment, try the silver medal winning Latter Day Stout or the gold medal Happy Valley Hefeweizen, which are both always on tap." And they have some great foods. She recommends subbing in a $1.50 upgrade charge to substitute either the pasta salad or the day or the French onion soup.
Both of those are great, yeah. Probably my most frequented of the brew pubs on that list. My most favorite, I would say. And the cool thing about that place is that, like these others, you can see the interior of the workings of the brew pub. You know, you can see the fermentation tanks. It's really cool to watch them actually making their beer at these places. That's what's great about the last three brew pubs we mentioned.
Yeah. It's cool ambiance. It's just kind of something you don't feel anywhere else. So it's cool. So if we're going to talk Hefeweizen, let's move on and we'll talk about Wasatch Brew Pub. We're headed up to Park City. This is 250 Main Street. 3.5 out of 5 stars after 73 reviews. Jean W., if you're not following her on Yelp, you need to get on and read her stuff because she's brilliant. About the Hefeweizen, she says, "It's beautifully colored, always frosty cold, and tastes like beer commissioned by God that accidentally fell from heaven."
Well, you know what Benjamin Franklin said?
I do, but I'd like you to repeat it.
"And beer is proof that God exists and that he loves us."
There you have it. So she wrecks the Hefeweizen. Also the food, she says, "The fish and chips are seriously the best I've had in Utah. Sizable pieces of fish take a nice battery dip in the First Amendment lager, so you really can taste the beer." And when she's feeling edgy, she says, "Get the apricot half or their awesome summer brow," which if it's available, it's a seasonal brew that they make, so.
I'm gonna check that out. I've never actually been up there.
Yeah, they do some great seasonal beers. We had a Yelp event last summer, and it was a picnic, and Wasatch was the perfect brew to bring to the picnic.
Fingers crossed, maybe I get to go to one of these summer events of yours?
Absolutely.
And it bears mentioning that you guys do Yelp events all the time. Where can people find out more info about getting involved in that? Do you have to have a certain amount of reviews on Yelp to be invited to be the inner circle of the Yelpers, as it were?
Well, we do a bunch of different kinds of events. So we have big events a couple times a year where we invite just anybody on Yelp who wants to come out and play around. And then we do, once a month, we do have these events for the Yelp Elite Squad, right? An elite squad member is someone who Yelp recognizes as, it's a nominated position, they recognize them as a wonderful contributor to the site. And we do events about once a month to different local businesses, drinks and food and entertainment and that kind of thing, just to get together and meet the people that you're reading reviews from. You know, it makes it all that much more real, and you can see the reviews and know, you know, who you agree with, who you jive with, and yeah, they're just a lot of fun.
That's cool. That's one of the things I like about the organization, unlike other review sites, that you guys really care about community. But sorry for that slight detour. Let's get back into the Brewpub tour.
Yeah, I think it's probably worth mentioning with, you know, spring here and summer, you know, nipping at us. A lot of folks head out of town, and if you're headed to Moab, there's also Moab Brewery. I took a little trip to Moab in the off season last December, which was a great time to visit. Any time of year is great to visit Moab. But Moab Brewery is 686 South Main, 3.5 out of 5 stars after 177 reviews. And Jenny S. Nails, she says, it's definitely a hub in Moab and a great meeting spot for a meal located right next to the Chili Pepper Bike Shop. The ample menu had plenty of good options and even has a vegetarian section, which is nice. She had the Scorpion Pale Ale, which was quite good. And of course, a burger and fries.
I believe that's the same brewery that sells their beer in Harmon's. I'm not sure, but if it is the same, their classic lagers are really good. Check that out at Harmon's if you don't have a chance to go down to Moab. But if you're on your way somewhere south, stop into Moab, right?
Absolutely, you got it.
Is that the last of the tour?
Well, that's what I had on the tour today. I mean, we have some other local brewers who are, you know, we're doing some kind of food stuff, but I thought we'd hit the main ones. I don't drink, but I know. So, you know, you can talk the brew and I can talk the pub, but, you know, there are some brewers in Utah doing amazing things, and it's great when you can combine the food with it. There's a little bit of something for everybody, for folks who don't drink or folks who want to go get a drink. It's just a great atmosphere. So this Red Rock and Squatters and Wasatch and Desert Edge, you know, you don't have to drink to go there, or if you want to drink, there's a chance to get a great brew while you're there.
It bears mentioning that you guys are an ever-expanding organization, if I'm not mistaken.
Indeed.
And maybe you're looking for some new help on the Yelp side.
Yeah, I'm hiring in Salt Lake City. I'm hiring an intern, which does not mean personal minion. There's no dry cleaning involved, but it's just a great chance to work with Yelp. So if you are interested, let's see, where can I put you? Go to yelp.com/careers, and you will see the listing for the Salt Lake City marketing assistant, or marketing intern, rather. We're taking applications here for a few weeks, and come on board. It's a lot of fun. A lot of hard work, but you know, you get to hang out at events, you get to go out to eat and see some of these places that we talk about here on the podcast.
Yeah, I think people would really, really enjoy that. Somebody straight out of college or in college, anybody really that applies and passes the muster, your muster.
Yeah, you have to pass my muster.
Sounds very interesting.
No, it sounds dirty when you put it that
really
way.
Does. It's not mustard though, right? It's mustard.
No, just muster, M-U-S-T-E-R, I think, right?
Yeah, sure, we'll go with that. For more information about Yelp, of course, go to yelp.com, and you can get the apps for your iPhone and your Android. And thanks
and
again.
Your BlackBerry and your Windows phone.
What's a BlackBerry?
I've heard of it.
I've heard of it too. Thanks again to Yelp Salt Lake City Community Manager Wrangler Jeffrey Stedman. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah.
Welcome to the weekly daily calendar rundown with editorial assistant Esther Moronio. Thank you, Esther, for joining us.
Thanks, JP.
Why don't you tell people what we do in this rundown?
So we basically give some highlights of events that are going on during the week and events that you can find in our daily calendar section of the magazine or online.
And we also like to recognize our contributors in the calendar section, and one of the things you're best at, because you're so cheery,
happy birthdays!
His birthday. Do you want to start us off with that birthday?
So, happy birthday to Christian Broadbent. He is one of our slug designers.
Good. Really good energy on that one.
Happy birthday, Christian!
There. Getting better. And Wednesday, May 23rd, the day after Christian's birthday, is Here We Go Magic, Hospitality, and Le Anarchiste.
Ooh.
The Urban Lounge. It's French.
Oui, oui.
And are you familiar with any of those bands?
I think they're all kind of indie bands. Here We Go Magic's from Brooklyn.
They're pretty good, yeah. And Thursday, May 24th, one of my favorite days of the year. Why don't you give an official birthday to that dude right there?
Happy birthday, Bob Dylan.
Great. great energy. Yes, yes.
And he is unfortunately not on the Slug staff.
That
However,
is true.
There will be some Slug staffers playing that show because there's a Bob Dylan birthday bash happening at the garage. And there's a bunch of local bands covering Bob Dylan songs, Polka Dots, Ryan Tanner, Vina Cava, who has a Slug staffer on it, Alex Ortega, and Daisy and the Moonshines. I went to this last year and it was a blast. So I'll be there again.
It's got your endorsement. It's got to be good. Everyone that listens to the calendar section regularly knows that, though. I mean, right? Did I make that up? You have good taste?
I have a great taste. Good. Obviously.
Shishir. I think that's how you pronounce it in Chinese correctly. Everyone else slaughters it. Shishir. Dirty Beaches and Father Murphy will also be at Urban on that night of the 24th. And that's kind of like art and indie rock. There's some coverage on that in our March issue.
Yeah, we've got an interview with Shishu's lead man. So check it out, because he's got a kind of gross story to tell, actually.
And Friday, May 25th, there's going to be an epic showcase at Roch.
I'm so excited. I'm actually pretty good friends with the headliners.
You're pretty good friends with the headliners.
No big deal.
Well, tell us more about the show then.
So it's Heartless, Dead in the Dirt, and Locals Invaders at Raunch. They're all kind of hardcore metal type bands. Heartless, they are from Pittsburgh, and I saw both them and Dead in the Dirt at South by Southwest at Thrasher Showcase, and they put on a pretty awesome show. So, and so does Invaders. So definitely go check them out.
And on that same day, there's going to be a show at Burt's with the Agrolites, Old Man Markley, and Street Dogs. Kind of a punk, bluegrass, reggae show.
Yep, so if you kind of want an alternative to something heavier, go to Burt's.
Have you ever heard that Beastie Boys song? And of course you have, because you're a big Beastie Boys fan. With Santa Gold called Don't Play No Game That You Can't Win. I'd definitely recommend it. I'm not sure if she's going to be performing that song, which comes to In the Venue on May 28th, which is a Monday. But she's got all the other hits. People like, you know, Les Artistes.
Yeah. I actually heard her newest album, and it's pretty good.
She's got that song with Karen O. I think it's called Go, right?
Yeah, I think so.
She'll be playing all that sort of dancey, poppy stuff. And on that same day, The Head and the Heart, Blind Pilot, and The Shins will be at Red Butte. I think that's the first day of the Red Butte concert series to kick it off for the summer. And that's one of the most fun, or most funnest, as they say.
Most funnest.
Concert events series of the summer. It's in Utah's naturally pristine mountains, and it's a really cool venue.
I have yet to go to a Red Butte show.
Oh, well, what?
Yeah, I like going up there and looking at the flowers. I've never looked at the flowers and listened to music at the same time.
Well, let's just give you the scenario. Imagine that you're looking at flowers and you're listening to music. It would blow your mind, right? Imagine if I could.
And drinking some wine and hanging out with a bunch of yuppies.
Yeah, that's the best part, of course. Some mad yuppie hotties up there, as they say. Is that how they say it?
Yuppie hotties.
Mad yuppie hotties. Yeah. You can ride tracks up there too. Don't drive drunk. Just ride the train up to Red Butte. It's part of the University of Utah campus. Party with the yuppies responsibly. And for more calendar information, check out the last few pages of our magazine, the hard copy, also on the front page of our website. And did you hear a stare that we have an iPhone app?
I didn't, oddly enough. Hear it on the last episode, or the episode before that, or the episode before that.
Admittedly, that conceit possibly is a little dated, but we've got the calendar as part of the iPhone app as well. You can also listen to past episodes, and you can read the magazine on your iPhone.
What else can people do on there?
They can call us directly. Did I mention that?
Did you? I don't know. I might have not been listening for a second.
That's what I love about this. You're so present when we do this. You're thinking about the show you're about to go to at Kilby Court. That's fine. I get it. No big deal. I'm not hurt. Whatever.
However, we do have something specific that we want people to call in for. And that is to call in and tell us your memories of the Heavy Metal Shop. Because we're going to have Kevin in here interviewing him. Because it's our 25th anniversary. And we want to hear your memories. They're a pretty big staple in the Salt Lake music scene.
Yes, indeed. And Kevin Kirk, the owner, has been a fixture in all our lives for so long. And Kevin would love to hear your fond thoughts about the shop. Hey, thanks for joining us again, Esther.
Thank you, JP.
There is no end.
The Mighty Sequoia is an indie folk rock group from Provo, Utah. They formed in July 2010, taking their name from the Native American who developed the Cherokee alphabet. In June of 2011, the band released their debut full-length album, Relative, followed by the EP, A Mighty Sequoia Christmas, in December of 2011. They then released their sophomore album, Sunken Houses, on May 18th. Here's The Mighty Sequoia with Medicine Man.
Ooh, to God.
That was the Mighty Sequoias Medicine Man from the Sunken Houses LP. They're currently in the middle of a short Western US tour with a show planned for May 28th at the Rendezvous Theater in Seattle. For more info on the album and the tour, visit the band at facebook.com/themightysequoia. The 999 is a weekly group bicycle ride that meets near Coffee Garden on 9th and 9th every Thursday evening at 9. The ride was created by local bicycle enthusiasts Naresh Kumar and Skylar Holin as a way to bring the cycling community together and just have an all-around good time on bicycle. Slug editorial assistant Esther Moronio attended the ride for the first time recently, documenting her experience via interviews with the founders and attendees.
And he is also a big proponent in the bicycle community. You collect bicycles and frames, right?
Yeah, some would say I collect rust. But
rust. So how did you hear about the 999 ride?
I actually co-founded it with Naresh.
Oh, cool.
He led, volunteered to lead one of the rides when the Outdoor Retailer Show was in town. And through online Salt Cycle blog, we have become just casual friends. One day he messaged me saying he wanted to start a ride kind of in the format of what he did for the Outdoor Retailer Show, which wasn't an intense ride. It was just get anyone on any bike to just go out and pedal together and enjoy. So there was no type of criteria anyone had to meet. It didn't matter how well you rode, how strong you were, what you had to ride. It was a ride for everyone, and that is what the whole 99 ride has always been about. It's just getting anyone who's willing to come out on a bike and have a positive experience. Anyways, yeah, he wanted to do it, and one day I said, all right, well, when should we start it? And she said, Thursday, and I said, okay, and then I posted all the stuff on the blog advertising it and named it after him, an evening in the city with Naresh.
So when did you guys start this? Last summer?
Last fall, yeah. And it has successfully gone off every single week. There has been some weeks during the winter where it was only one of us that went around the block, but it has continually kept going.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Like, that's, I've got to say, that is kind of something Naresh has instilled into it. It's just been his personality of how to have, you know, he just shows up always, no matter what. And he set that standard.
We're here with Naresh Kumar.
Hello.
And he is one of the co-founders.
Co-founder, yeah.
Co-founder of the 999 ride. Okay, Skylar just told me that that's not the official title.
It's the short name for Evenings in the City with Naresh, which is, that's Skylar's brainchild. That's his invention.
There are other group rides here in Salt Lake, but it sounds like yours has lived on even in bad weather, whether it was just one person or a big group. Why do you think that is?
This has more of a, I don't want to say like party, but like informal sort of, we don't necessarily like have to ride the whole time, but we love riding, and it's every week, so it's like if you can't make it this week, you can come next week, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to miss out if you don't come this week.
With a group this size tonight, do you think that the ride's going to be kind of slower paced than usual? Do you guys kind of cater to the crowd? How do you decide your route and your pace?
Yeah, it tends to be more of an organic thing. It tends to be more of, we go mostly at the pace of the slower but not slowest person and the group. I think that people who ride bikes, I mean, they need to get the idea reinforced that there are other people out there, you know, that ride bikes, and that they're not alone, that we have something in common and that we like to share with each other, but that there's more to us than just, you know, riding around on bicycles. That, you know, you'll see, like, even tonight, I mean, you'll see if you look around, like, different groups of people talking about different things and just, you know, meeting people that they otherwise might not have met if they didn't have this opportunity. And a lot of us commute and ride around during the week, and traffic can be a real handful and really annoy us at times. And riding in a group can kind of help us feel a little bit better about riding in traffic and just, you know.
More in control.
Yeah.
We're here with Emilio Antonio Hidalgo, and he is a staple in the Salt Lake bicycle community. How did you hear about this ride?
Oh, well, I actually heard it through a few of my friends, and then I even saw it online.
On Facebook?
Yes, right, on Facebook.
What do you hope to get out of the ride tonight?
Really end up meeting people, and for them to know me, or I guess you would say socializing.
Yeah, to socialize.
Right, socialize.
So I haven't been on this ride before. Can you give me some pointers? Like, what should I expect?
Well, it's sometimes they do ride a bit quick, uh-huh. But then sometimes they just cruise.
Holla Bales, and she is my fellow lady cyclist.
Woo-hoo.
And we're stopped like in the middle of the West Side industrial area, kind of having a dance party because someone got a flat. So we're all stopped on the 999 ride. We just took a tour of that crazy pyramid that's down on 9th West. And so, Sahala, this is obviously not your first 999.
No, I started coming when they were Nights in the City with Naresh. Running longer than 6 months now. I stopped coming through a lot of the winter because it's dark and cold.
Totally.
But now that it's warmed up and there are 10,000 people at these things, I think it'd be fun to come out and ride.
Cool. So is this pretty typical? Stopping for one flat and kind of all the shenanigans that have been going on this ride, the banging music and stuff?
I think so. This is like the second, I think, ride that they've had the music. But stopping periodically is pretty common. It's really chill. So the pace is really, you know, casual.
Is this the usual route or is it pretty different every time?
It's usually different every time. There's a section of downtown kind of through the Marmalade District that we usually hit every time just because it's a lot of fun. But the route to there and from there usually varies quite a bit.
So why do you come to these rides?
Because it helps keep me sane. I work a normal 9-to-5, so I can't like get outside much. So this helps, you know, socialize, get the ride going, and it's just a lot of fun.
Okay, so we're about what, an hour and a half into this ride.
Yeah.
We're up at the top of State Street, nearing the Capitol. We just went on this crazy, I don't even know, maze. Is this what you intended the ride to be like?
Yeah, we actively never want drama. I think it's been a perfect blend of riding and hooliganism and just camaraderie and fun.
We did lose Naresh along the way and a few others, but this is a pretty good sized group considering how far and how long we rode, I think.
Yes, I am actively impressed at how many people we've maintained. And it looks like they're about to catch right back up to us. We did do a deviation at the start of the ride, but we are now back on the standard, what would be considered default 999 route. And usually from here to the end, people will just kind of zip off and head home as they wish. And I don't know, you know, we try to just be organized freedom. The only thing I regret is Naresh. I didn't know about his flat tire, and that breaks my heart. I can't believe that. And he was gonna catch up to us. I don't know, I think we might need to just go seek him out and hug him or something.
Well, looks like everyone else is catching up to us. This is probably, I mean, I'd say this is over half of the people that joined us at the beginning, so this is pretty awesome.
We'll see how many people make it up this weekend.
Yeah, make it up this maze. Through the West Side Avs Capitol Hill area. We have now come to our resting place, which is a park. What park is this?
Yeah. So we went through the tunnel the first time and there was a bunch of cars there.
The tunnel on 2nd East.
Yeah.
And then when we flipped to you and went for a repeat offense, that put us right back on course for the default ride. That will take place more often than not.
Okay, which was kind of towards Memory Grove, went kind of through a maze up a hill, and then went basically through the capital suburb area.
Basically like a wild, you know, an erotic wild dream.
So today was your first time. What's your name?
Jensen.
What was your overall impression?
Good times, lots of music, lots of fun, tons of people.
So are you, do you usually go to cycling events?
This is one of my first real cycling events. I started because of a good friend of mine who got me going, and I'm loving it, and I want to keep going.
Okay, so you weren't at all like intimidated or anything?
Not at all.
Good time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
These people are very welcoming. I think more people should join this. Plus, now they're doing volunteer stuff. I mean, it's great.
So you'll definitely be back?
Absolutely.
So we're here at the end, and what's your name?
Diana.
You've been on this 999 ride before?
Yes, about 5 times.
5 times?
Yes.
Cool. So what was your overall impression tonight?
Tonight, it was a little wacky. I liked that it wasn't planned very well, but it turned out great.
Cool.
It always does.
It's so you...
who you're with, pretty much.
Okay, so did you come with your friends?
I did. I met everybody just through other people.
Oh, nice.
Leonard, he lives in my building, and then through him, I met everybody else.
So these are just kind of mutual cycling friends
yes.
that you've made?
Yes.
Awesome. So you're definitely going to be coming again?
Oh, definitely, yes.
What's your name?
Josh Markham.
And this was your first 999, right?
First time, yes.
So what was your overall impression?
It's a lot of fun. It's chaos, but it's the best kind of chaos.
Why do you say that?
There's just people all over. We take over the streets and have an awesome time.
You're kind of on a different kind of bike because a lot of people here are on road bikes, and you're kind of on a mountain-ish
bike. I am definitely on a mountain bike.
You're on a mountain bike.
Yes, with Beach Cruiser tires.
So was it tough for you to keep up? Because the ride was, I mean, I'd say that's kind of medium-paced.
No, it wasn't hard at all. It was a breeze to keep up with everything. I like the mountain bike with big tires so I can go off of curbs and stay out of the road and have a little more fun than everyone that has to stick to the road.
Yeah, awesome. And we did do a little bit of off-roading, I would say.
We did a little bit, yes.
Are you going to come back?
Definitely, I'm coming back.
Okay. And do you go to other events in the community?
No, I have just kind of recently taken up cycling, so this is my first time.
Awesome. This is kind of an intimidating ride for a first time, but you, you know, seemed very comfortable. You made it to the end.
Yeah.
And you had a lot of fun, so maybe, you know, maybe it's not really that intimidating.
I don't think it's that intimidating. I might have a little advantage because I'm kind of a fitness junkie, so I wasn't too intimidated by it.
Yeah.
But I think if anyone can get over the intimidation, it's not that hard. So, we spread out a lot, but everybody kind of waits and we catch up, and I think anybody can do it.
To join in on the 999, simply show up to 9th & 9th every Thursday evening with your bicycle, whatever the weather. For more info on community bike events, visit saltcycle.org or join the Salt Cycle Facebook group. Thanks for listening to another episode of Sound Waves from the Underground, from wherever you are in the world. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. We mentioned earlier in the show that we're accepting calls right now regarding the heavy metal shop. It's going to be the 25th anniversary for that local store owned by Kevin Kirk. And Kevin and we would all appreciate any questions or memories about the shop, anything that'll start a conversation. And you can reach us at 858-233-9324, or you can email us at soundwaves@slugmag.com. Or you can always tweet us at slugsoundwaves. We may just play you on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Jeanette D. Moses, Ricky Vigil, Esther Moronio, and Jonathan Paxton. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with our main logo and art design by T-Done, and technical design by Kate O'Connor. Now next week, we're going to be finding out more about the Broadview Entertainment Arts University, and we'll be speaking with local artist Audrey Newhouse. And we'll be finding out about Incredibly Strange Movie Night. Is it as incredibly strange as it sounds? Till next week.